Say the end of a weekend like this, there's a part of me that wishes it had ended this morning, and then I wouldn't have this amazing responsibility of bringing it to a close in some way. But I take a step back and I look at myself. Many of you have probably looked, you've looked at the statistics that have been shared across the different sessions this weekend. And I look at some of those statistics and I think about the fact that I survived the child infant mortality. No, I didn't die before my fifth birthday. When I think of the fact that even though three brothers of mine and a sister have died of HIV/AIDS, I am still alive. When I think of the fact that I am not included in the 50% of the women in Africa that cannot read and write, I have to ask myself, why me and not somebody else? When I think about the fact that I have a master's degree from one of the best colleges in this land, Wheaton College in Wheaton, Illinois, I have to ask myself, there has to be a reason to all of this. Now, the easiest thing for me probably to do would be to say, well, I am blessed. I am lucky. But, you know, I come back to the story of Esther. Can you imagine what Esther felt like when she finds herself a queen from some insignificant, orphan little girl, a Jew? And she finds herself in the palace. She must have, you know, pinched herself to, is this real? You know, am I dreaming? And it wasn't long before Esther's uncle Mordecai helped her to get to a place where I have to come to often myself in my life. And that is a place of gratitude, but also a place of recognition that to whom much has been given, much is also going to be required. I consider myself privileged. I consider myself blessed, but not so much that I can, you know, bask in the glory of my blessedness, which would be a very easy thing to do. But to recognize, as Mordecai challenged Esther, that I have been brought to royal position for such a time as this. And that is the theme of our reflection tonight, that the church global, together in positions of royalty for such a time as this. I told those of you last night who belong to any institution that has the name church, we are related. That's our surname. And it's not just for here, but for all eternity. And so the HIV/AIDS crisis is one of those very rare opportunities that God has placed in our path for, as a test, whether we're going to church or not. Sometimes we think that we are placed in particular geographical locations accidentally. I have a very humorous brother, and he used to say that whenever I would get frustrated with the issues that were going on in Uganda, he would say, you know, I wonder what God was doing when he threw the dice the day I was born, that it fell in Uganda. You know, why didn't it fall some other place? But actually, Acts tells us that even geography is, you know, God has a reason as to why he geographically places you in particular places. Our education, some of us think, yeah, I'm just wandering in and out, and yeah, if I can just graduate, well, your education has a purpose. The families we are born into, there is a reason. It's not accidental that you are in Berkeley, California in October 2007. It's not accidental that you have been a part of this weekend. God has a purpose. And all of these things contribute to God bringing us to positions of royalty for such times as he places us in history. And as we shared at the first night, that as we look at this time in history, we cannot ignore the HIV/AIDS epidemic. And more so for us as a church, because at the center of the HIV/AIDS epidemic are all the people that are represented in Christ's gospel mandate, as we read about it in either Isaiah or Luke chapter 4, where he talks about the Spirit of the Lord being upon him and anointing him for specific tasks and purposes. And one of the things, as I've reflected upon this this mandate this weekend, something again came to mind, that each of these aspects of the gospel mandate were people. The blind, the oppressed, the captives, all of those are people. They're not statistics, they're not numbers, they're people with faces. And HIV/AIDS creates all of those people. And what an opportunity for us to actually live out the gospel mandate in our generation, in our time. And HIV/AIDS does provide those opportunities. The opportunity to feed the hungry and give a cup of cold water. We saw over on many slides this weekend a lot of people living with HIV/AIDS going without food. And some of them who even have access to free medical care and antiretroviral therapy, which they cannot take advantage of because it requires proper nutrition. And the gospel mandate says that I have come that I may feed the hungry, an opportunity to give a cup of cold water. The gospel mandate reminds us of people who are imprisoned that need to be set free. Because of the stigma surrounding the HIV/AIDS epidemic, a lot of people are in prisons, and some of them could actually be sitting next to you in this church, in this sanctuary. Some of them may even live in your home, but they cannot talk about their problem because they know how we are going to treat them once they come out. So they're in a prison. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, I have come that I may preach freedom to the captives. The children, Philippa shared about the children in Uganda that she works with day in, day out. And her prayer for many of them that they'll grow. I shared with you about my little girl Stella and my fears. Lord, please let her grow up. Let her beat this HIV/AIDS virus and grow up to be a beautiful, young, little star that will do amazing things for you. An opportunity for us to take those children in so that they're not left in institutions. When you look at the figures of young people who are being infected across the world because of wrong choices that they make, because of misinformation. I think of a lot of the young people that I work with in Malawi, who are told, you have to prove your manhood by sleeping around. A lie. the many young girls who are deceived into thinking that, you know, well, you can't get pregnant the first time. Yes, you may not get pregnant, but you could actually get infected with HIV/AIDS. Who will speak truth into these lies? And once again, an opportunity for the church to speak truth, because we represent the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. An opportunity to bring hope in a disease that is very often characterized as bringing despair and hopelessness. And who better placed than the body of Christ to bring this sense of hope into those situations? Because we are the only institution that can bring hope. An opportunity to advocate for the least. Those were in the seminar this afternoon. We shared the stories of, you know, families where property is grabbed even before they bury their parent by people who are supposed to be caregivers. Who will be the advocate for the least of these? And what an opportunity for us who represent the one who champions the cause for the widow and the orphan, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. When you think about the church global, as I said, the church global together in positions of royalty for such a time as this, it is sad that we have, in some ways, for 20 years, missed a big part of this opportunity. Yes, there are lights on different hills, but when you think about the size of the global church, both in the north and the south, isn't it sad that we still have statistics that get worse every year? And yet we gather on a weekly basis and sing about a God of love. We read our Bibles every day and read about the God of justice and mercy, but in some ways that seems to be divorced from our day-to-day experience. And so Mordecai tells Esther that, you know what? You have the option to remain silent because you are in this place of royalty. And if you do remain silent, yes, help for God's people is going to come from somewhere else. And as the church of God, we have that option. The same challenge that Mordecai brings to Esther, we have that option. And actually, for some of us, we've decided these numbers are too big. You know, we look at Africa and we say, what's up with Africa, you know? Why can't they just get their act together, you know? And some of us, you know, in the Bay Area, we've looked at particular populations, you know, like the gay community in the Bay Area, and we're saying, well, let them just, you know, get their sexuality sorted out. What's up with them? It's a choice. And so we have made these value judgments, and so we've decided that, as in some of the churches in Africa have decided, that actually HIV/AIDS is outside the mandate of the church. You'd be amazed at how much money is spent on conferences within Africa trying to figure out what is the role of the church. Isn't it sad? When we read this Bible day in, day out, Sunday in, Sunday out, and we are spending thousands of dollars that could actually go to feed the hungry, take care of the orphan, trying to figure out what is the role of the church in the HIV/AIDS epidemic. So we have the option to remain silent. But you and I are in a place of royalty for such a time as this. Wherever you are geographically, whatever, you know, academic training you have, whichever family God has placed you in, you are in a position of royalty. And when God challenged me personally about my place of royalty, that's why I took in little Stella. That's why I took in Hezekiah. I've shared those stories before. But I had to recognize that I cannot hide under this banner of, you know, yeah, these poor Africans, you know, they don't have resources. I am resourced. And so are a lot of churches within Africa. We are resourced. And we are, even in Africa, at positions of royalty. And God has called us and raised us to those places for such a time as this. So where does First Berkeley come in, if we have enough royals in Africa? Well, as we read, as Debbie read for us very eloquently, we are part of the same body. The church in the global north and the church in the global south are related for eternity. We may ignore each other, which is actually very easy to do because we even ignore our neighbors who live next to us. So actually it is much easier to ignore those people out there in India, you know, that Brother Santos shared with us about. Those people in Malaysia who PACS represents, who are they anyway? Where is Malaysia? Is it in Nigeria? I remember one time I was checking in and I said, I'm going to Malawi. And this agent did not believe there was such a place as Malawi. She actually had to call the supervisor to prove that there was such a country called Malawi. The advantage is that I had a lot of excess baggage, and as an apology, I got my excess baggage through free of charge. But, you know, it's so easy for us to ignore each other. But we are, if we say, if our surname is Church, then we are the body of Christ. We are not just some disembodied, you know, thing up suspended between heaven and earth. No, it is physical hands and feet. And part of our royalty was described in that rich passage. The diversity within the body of Christ. Can you imagine what would happen if we just harness this diversity? All the gifts that are represented. If we took a sample here, we'd probably say, wow, you mean all of that is within First Berkeley? A lot of the people who even design these policies come to our churches every Sunday and go back. And that is capital within the body of Christ that we haven't even begun to tap. Sometimes we look at the body of, you know, at the challenges that HIV/AIDS presents. We look at the numbers of orphans, the women who are, you know, oppressed because of laws that make them enslaved to things that expose them to even sexual exploitation. We look at, you know, some of the men who are just standing on the side. We look at, and we say, what on earth can anyone do to make a difference? And yet when you think about the diversity that the body of Christ represents, the apostles, the teachers, the workers of, you know, miracles, those with gifts of generosity, all of that is within the body of Christ. That's part of our royalty. We've been gifted and blessed to be able to make a response for the issues that ail our generation. And I'm so glad that we end this day at the cross. Because for us to be able to take advantage of our positions of royalty, we have to go by the path of brokenness. Esther tells Mordecai, when she has been challenged, that, you know, go and ask everyone to fast for me, and I'll do the same. And at the end of that fast, I'm going to go in before the king. And if I perish, I do what? I perish. She was willing to be broken, if that is what it meant for her to fulfill her destiny. And for each one of us, the cross is a reminder of that. When we participate in Holy Communion, it is a reminder that Christ had to be broken. Physically, his body had to be broken so that you and I could be set free, so that the marginalized could be welcomed into the presence of God, so that the captives would find freedom, so that the hungry could find something to eat. And so as we draw near the cross this evening, I want to challenge you. I challenge those who are here the first evening that ask God to break your heart for the things that break his heart. And I think one of the things that breaks God's heart is a church that is not church. I was asked about the revival in the church in Africa, whether that is genuine. And I said, I don't know if God would call it a revival. It doesn't make sense that we are saying so many are coming to know the Lord, and yet we still have children who are orphaned without homes. What revival is it? What gospel are we teaching? It doesn't make sense that we have crusades and thousands come to the front, but we still will not find people who look after people living with HIV/AIDS. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that many churches in Africa fill Sunday in, Sunday out, but will not find people who will advocate for orphans when their property is being stolen. And among those who gather are lawyers. Among those who gather are social workers. Among those who gather every morning in the church in Africa, we have political leaders who are in positions of responsibility. So I guess when we begin to see justice roll down, as Amos tells us, then maybe we'll say there is a revival happening in Africa. But I think as long as those levels of poverty exist, that is not revival. So I invite you this evening, some of you have already made this commitment, but to ask yourself, given my royal position, and each one of you in here is royalty, by the way. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Don't hide your peculiarity. Don't hide your royalty. Pick up a response card from in front of you. If you already haven't done, those who are in my seminars, you've already done yours and they are over here. But some of us were not part of this weekend. And just pick up a card in front of you and write on something you can do in your position of royalty to make a difference about this epidemic, whatever it is. Are you going to be his mouth and speak truth into all the lies that have been spoken about the HIV/AIDS epidemic? Are you going to be his hands and bring a meal into some of the homes within the Bay Area where, yes, there are people who go hungry, believe it or not? Are you going to spend those 30 minutes and go and visit that lonely person that just wishes somebody would open and talk with them? Are you going to be his feet and going to places where nobody wants to go because it's inconvenient? What are you going to do to make a difference in this epidemic? so that when the time comes to an end, you'll be able to say, yes, that was the time when we started the journey to Be Real Church. That's the time when our worship stopped annoying God because it was just noisy and started pleasing God because indeed it was acts of worship. So if you haven't had that opportunity, I want you to take that time and write down what that commitment is going to be. What little thing are you going to do within your place of royalty to make a difference? And later on, we'll have an opportunity to come around the cross for time of prayer. And we encourage you to place that in this basket. And those are going to be raised up before God and say, Lord, help us on this journey. We don't know where it's going to lead, but we don't want history to say we remained silent when we could actually have stood up as the body of Christ. Because of Esther's obedience, salvation history is different. And she did not realize that when she allowed herself to be broken and put her life on the line and face the king, she was making history. Never underestimate the power of your little act of obedience to share a meal, to pay a visit. Maybe there's somebody who's hanging on for dear life because they can't go into the next life until you're obedient and spend 30 minutes and go and visit them and share the gospel. Maybe there's somebody who needs to stay alive and put things right in their household, but they need for you to be able to share that meal. Maybe there's a politician who needs to take a stand of responsibility, but will not until you take that step of obedience and go and tell them to stand up and defend what is right. So we've all been called to royalty. One was about love. Us be motivated by the same love that brought the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, that he died for us. He was broken for you and me. And may that same love compel us to be broken so that we may make a difference in this epidemic for such a time as this. I'll end with the words of Pastor Mark Labraton. I'm not trying to be Pastor Mark, but these same words that our community reputation, as scripture suggests, should be that the church comprises those who pursue justice for the poor and oppressed, because that is what it means to be Christ's body in the world. My prayer for you, my prayer for myself, is that as his church, we'll have the reputation as the church that is the body of Christ in a hurting world. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, as we reflect on the cross and on your broken body, may we also allow ourselves to be broken for the things that break your heart, that in our different places and positions of royalty will make a difference with regards to this HIV/AIDS epidemic, and indeed have a reputation as the body of Christ in our world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.